I was talking to someone this past week, and I said to them, I just want to take 2019 and just throw it somewhere. I don't want to see it again. It's been a difficult year. Starting with Dad passing away in January, and then the tornadoes that hit our city, and then the gun violence. We're not over that yet. I still meet with people who are struggling. And then the death of the two children in that senseless tragedy. I'm still talking to those families. It's so hard to get beyond that. I have buried so many people this year. People who are just close to me in our parishes. Then Father Dave passed away. And right now, there are at least three people who are seriously ill and admitted in hospitals, and one of them is a four-month-old baby who has to get a liver transplant. You know, and my heart breaks as I see, and I know this family very well. So in one sense, I can't wait for 2019 to end. And there are so many people to whom I say, man, this has been a difficult year. And they say, yeah, it's been a hard year. And I don't know. If you've escaped 2019, you better praise God. Because there are some of us who are struggling. And in this context, today's scripture seems so timely and appropriate. Listen, very, very, very rarely is a parable mentioned in the gospel which clearly lays out for you the purpose of the parable. And thank God Luke gives us that today. Luke says, Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. Since the theme is given to us, let us reflect on the necessity to pray without getting weary. Here are my three practical implications for today. Today's parable, today's gospel, in reality, is not as much about prayer as they are about the necessity to pray always without getting weary. That's the point of the parable. However, let's begin with prayer anyway. How do you think of prayer? Some people think of it as something we do. It's an activity. Some people will come to the confession and say, I didn't do my morning and evening prayer. I'm sure as you pray, a lot of it is intercession, praise, repentance. Some people enter into meditation. For some, it is contemplation. However you think about prayer, today I want to encourage you to think about prayer this way. See, I think prayer is life. And our task is to make our life prayer. Think about it this way. You're breathing right now? We're all breathing, right? We don't think about it, do we? But breath is life. Life is breath. The day you stop breathing, you die. We do not think consciously about our breathing. We don't think, oh, let me breathe now. We breathe. In other words, it's so much part of us, isn't it? Prayer must become something like that. But we don't have to think about it. Prayer is living the life of Jesus so unconsciously, so instinctively, that we don't even have to think about it. Prayer doesn't have to be an activity. Prayer doesn't have to be something that we have to put on our calendar. Yes, those activities are important because they get us to what prayer is really all about. Those activities are those focused moments where we intentionally choose to spend with God. But really, when you think about prayer, prayer is living in God's presence and for one another every moment of our lives. It's like breathing. It has to come so naturally that we don't think about it, like our breath. And just like breath, when prayer is not in our life and life is not prayer, we die. Prayer. Prayer is life. And our task is to make our life prayer. Now, today's first reading helps us to think about it in this way just a little bit more. Today's first reading invites us to think of life and God and prayer as seamless realities. It's like moving from one to the other without even knowing what we're doing, just like breathing. Prayer and God and life are seamless realities. In one sense, that first reading is a very comical scene. Did you notice the Moses is on a mountain, his hands lifted up in prayer, okay? His people are on the ground there fighting a battle. Moses, the moment his hands grew weary and it began to come down, they began to lose the battle. And the moment he lifted his hands up, the Israelites began to win the battle. You will not find this in any war manual, the strategy for winning a battle, right? Now, because of that, the people made him sit on a rock and two people held his hands up. And at the end of the day, they won the battle. If only that was that easy, right? Now, the point of the story, as comical as it may seem, is deeper. Listen, God was with the people fighting their battle and leading them to victory. That is the point of the story. God is in the midst of life. Is anybody struggling? I am. And where is God? God is there fighting the battle. God is in the midst of us. This does not mean that because God is with us that life will be smooth sailing. Nowhere does Scripture tell us that there will not be battles, difficulties, complexities in our life. But rather that in the midst of our struggles that God does not abandon us. It's the point of the story. We can find God in the very midst of our struggles. And believe me, these days I've often in God's presence simply cried out and I have this awesome sense that yeah, it's not all right, but I know I'm not alone. And that's my strength. That simply is my strength. Meanwhile, there is a gesture that is very useful as we go through hands lifted up. We got to constantly have our hands lifted up. The moment it goes down, we're going to lose the battle. With the hands lifted up in prayer, we approach life and the struggles. Day in and day out, like Moses, we might invite God not only to fight our battles, but to simply be an inalienable part of our lives. We must invite God to be our very breath. This is prayer. This is the meaning of persistence in prayer. Thirdly, I said in my first point that life is prayer and prayer is life, and perhaps I should have said it differently. I should have said all of life is prayer, and all of prayer, and prayer is all of life. And the reason I'm saying that is we have this parable where this widow constantly goes to this judge who will not listen to her. And finally, he gets so fed up of her that he just answers the prayers. Now, that's not how you want to think about God, isn't it? Is that really how God is? I mean, you wouldn't do this to your own children, would you? So why would God do that to us? So it's not the best image if you want to talk about prayer, where as if, you know, God makes us really pay for it. That's not. But the point of this parable is not that God is like the mean judge. In fact, the point is very just the opposite. The parable ends with saying, will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. I think the parable is telling us that God is a good God. He's unlike the judge who makes you pay for it. God is the God of good things. So, if you are ever inclined to wonder why God did not let you win a lottery, or did not heal your loved ones, did not get you the job that you wanted, or why your marriage ended in a divorce, or why an adversity came your way, look back at life to find the good things that have come your way. How many good things are still there? Life and any love that came our way, our family, those near to us, the faith we have and the strength that comes from it, those that care about us now and those that we care about, but most of all, the gift of Jesus, these are the good things that have come our way. Yeah, life is complicated, life is hard, but we are not devoid of good things, and good things come to us from God. So one way to battle weariness in life, weariness in prayer, is not to forget the good things that are present. And that's why I said, all of life is prayer, and prayer must become all of life. I have many things to be grateful for, even though 2019 has been a rough year. There are so many things I have to be grateful for. I'm alive. Mom is still there. You guys are still there. So, 2019, God has been in the midst of this year. And we come here week after week to lift up our hands like Moses in prayer. Folks, just remember this. After Mass, when you go back home to your family, to your work, to your neighborhood, God is already there, waiting for you. God is in the midst of our life. Life is prayer. Prayer is life. People of God said. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. And for our salvation, he came down from heaven and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father